text is the appointed psalm for today, Psalm 27, that we also read in the intro.
Verse 4, "One thing I have desired from the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to look upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The psalmist longs to be in the temple and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Later in the psalm, he says to God, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, O Lord, I will seek.'" At the end of the psalm, the psalmist expresses his desire to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This psalmist yearns to gaze upon the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. And rightfully so, for the Lord is beautiful. The word beauty here denotes physical beauty, attractiveness, delightful to look at. In the Song of Songs, the Shulamite maiden says to her beloved, "You are handsome indeed, beautiful." And the beloved says to the Shulamite maiden, "How fair and how beautiful you are." That same word occurs here in Psalm 27 when the psalmist says, "I desire to look upon the beauty of the Lord." We have been made God's people through holy baptism, and we have been absolved of all our sins through holy absolution. As God's own absolved people, we too say with David and the ancient Israelites, "I long to dwell in the temple of the Lord and to look upon the beauty of the Lord." In order to increase in us such a godly desire, we will meditate on this verse with the help of slides. What did the ancient BC Israelites see when they beheld the beauty of Yahweh? They saw the beauty of the priestly robes, especially the colorful robes of the high priest. These beautiful and glorious robes reflected the beauty and glory of God himself. The high priest wore a white tunic. Over the tunic lay a blue robe and this apron-like garment called the ephod, and a breastplate with 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. To see the beauty of the priestly robes was to see the beauty of the Lord. Before the temple was built, they saw the beauty of the Lord by beholding the beauty of the tabernacle. The tabernacle had four coverings. The bottom covering was woven with white linen and blue, purple, and scarlet wool. The second covering was white goat skin and hair. The third covering was ram skin dyed red. And the top covering was, we're not sure, perhaps tanned leather. Here's the inside curtain. Such a beautiful tent, the place where God graciously located his presence and made himself accessible to Israel. How beautiful the Lord is who tabernacled there. About 965 BC, Solomon built and dedicated the temple. This is an accurate depiction of Jerusalem at that time. Notice how prominent the temple is in the upper right corner, the preeminent place in the whole city of Jerusalem. To behold the beauty of the temple with its two pillars out front, Yakim and Boaz, was to behold the beauty of Yahweh himself. What splendor and beauty! To behold the beauty and majesty of the second temple, expanded by Herod, was to behold the beauty and majesty of God himself. But in the fullness of time, God displayed his beauty in a climactic way. God took to himself flesh and blood and became one of us. The Logos, through whom all things were made, became flesh and tabernacled among us. To see the human face of Jesus is to see the human face of God. As Jesus said to Philip, who wanted Jesus to show them the Father, "The one who has seen me has seen the Father." To see Jesus is to see the beauty of the Lord. This is a 6th century icon from St. Catherine's Monastery in China. How beautiful is the head of Christ, the human face of God, by Rembrandt, 1658. Yet this beautiful Jesus went through such suffering and anguish, even to the point of being forsaken by God, and all for us sinners, by Antonella da Messina, 15th century. In fact, Jesus became downright ugly, as Albrecht Boots depicts him. 15th, early 16th century. See his face, tired, battered, bruised, emaciated. As Isaiah 53 says, he had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, as one from whom others hid their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Jesus became ugly and went through an ugly death on a cross, the Roman method of capital punishment, as depicted by Peter Paul Rubens, early 17th century. The beautiful Lord became ugly in our place. Like the picture of Dorian Gray, he took on himself our ugliness, our wretchedness, our disgusting appearance and conduct, our rebelliousness, and he endured the death and damnation that we deserved. As Isaiah 53 goes on to say, surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. See how ugly he became for us, as portrayed by Graham Sutherland, 1946. As the Spirit of the Messiah spoke through David in Psalm 22, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. See the anguish and horror of it all. As Christ is being taken down from the cross, his body all twisted and limp, the horror of the faces and the beholders, by Rembrandt, 1633. Yet Christ suffered and died this ugly death for us. He carried the sins of the whole world on his shoulders. That's why he was so heavy, and why the crossbeam is bent and about to break. He's carrying the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. As Matthias Grunewald pictures it about 1515 from the Isenheim altarpiece. His blood was shed for all sinners. For Martin Luther on the bottom right. For you and for me. By Lucas Cranach the Younger, 1555. The Gospel of John tells us that Christ's death was part of his glorious exaltation. He is the one mediator between heaven and earth, suspended in the air between heaven and earth, as depicted by Salvador Dali, 1951. In fact, when you think about it, how beautiful the crucified Lord really is. His crucifixion has changed our standards of beauty. See how beautiful he is, by Velazquez, 1632. See the beauty of the Lord carrying his cross for us. See the beauty of his love and mercy and kindness, by Marco Palmisano. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign. We eagerly await that future day when we, together with all his people, will joyfully worship and glorify the beautiful Lamb, when we will dwell in the house of the Lord and look upon the beauty of the Lord forever, the beauty of the Lord incarnate, the Lamb of God, as depicted by Hubert and Jan van Eyck, 1425. And we end up with Matthias Grunewald again. On that day, we will behold the splendor of the crucified and risen Lord, arrayed in a beautiful robe, bright and glorious as the sun. And we will evermore praise him for those beautiful nail marks in his hands and feet. We pray, O Lord, we desire this one thing, to dwell in your house and to behold your beauty forever.